Say everybody from Gen X Radio Summit on DAB across the county, the world online. The big reset then with the election. We all hope that it would be kind of a fresh start, a new beginning, as it were, a big reset. Folk who said to me, you know what, James, I don't care who wins, just can we move on and get the ball rolling into something a little bit more how we like the country to be. And so on and so forth. Well, of course, with a new government comes a new legislative agenda, and a number of changes are on the way. So what do they mean for you and I? Well, putting the meat on that particular bone are Fisher Jones Greenwood. They're a leading regional law firm with offices in both Suffolk and Essex. Ashton Carter is partner and head of commercial, and Richard Busby, partner representing family law. Ashton, Richard, good morning to you.
Morning. Morning, James.
Thank you so much for joining us. Well, there are a number of changes on the way. Let's begin, if we can, with family law. And this is the new deal for working people. Give us a little run through on what's expected down the line on this one.
Well, James, mate, I think one giant part of Labour's agenda, and it stems from their October 23 conference, and it's something that's really missed all the headlines, but it's going to be a huge change, and that relates specifically to cohabiting couples.
Right.
Now, your viewers may be familiar with the phrase common law marriage myth.
Yep.
Those that cohabit, some believe that they've got rights, specific rights to property and finances, etc., but the bottom line is they really don't under general family law principles. Labour, in 13 words in their manifesto, have just said that really that they pledge to strengthen the rights of cohabitees. This is particularly from the focus of dependent women. It's going to be, I would say, as seismic a change in family law as David Cameron's Same-Sex Marriage Act was.
Oh, wow.
Perhaps even more so.
There's been a lot of pressure to make these changes, and it's sort of been kicked into the long grass a bit over the years. Many people choosing to not marry, but they live together. And, it's not until a significant event in life comes along, be it a separation or even a birth, do they realise just how exposed one of them might well be.
Oh, absolutely. They're then dependent on general property law principles, trust principles, which don't apply in the normal family context. You can be in a very long-time relationship and, just as you've said, James, leave with some expectation that there would be a right to share pensions that have accrued during the length of the relationship, yeah. And it just doesn't happen. And I'm specifically talking in the jurisdiction of England and Wales. Of course, Ireland has its own regime. Scotland has a somewhat of a cohabitation regime, but it's really in this country because we've got over 3.5 million cohabiting couples,
yeah.
And that they are, as you say, exposed. So it's going to be a giant pledge, really, that hasn't really made the immediate headlines.
So what do you reckon the changes are likely to be? What rights will cohabitees now, do you think, have going forward?
There's been several draft bills on this issue that have gone through Parliament over various years. None of them, as you say, that they've all been kicked into the long grass for various reasons. Mm. But essentially that they look at where there is a relationship of some dependency. So it's the establishing of that dependency within a relationship and what the needs have been generated throughout the relationship itself. Purely, okay. So one underprivileged partner, one financially dependent partner doesn't exit the relationship, and it will have to be a qualifying relationship, and they're still working on the detail of that, but just so that they're not left high and dry at the end. It will be a huge change. Mm.
Well, there does need to be something, as you say, millions of folk now cohabiting. The biggest shock for me, I've been in a 37-year relationship, but we chose not to get married. The biggest shock to me was the lack of rights that a father has with regard to his own children. I couldn't sign. Things may have changed now. This was a few years ago. I couldn't even sign for my boy to have surgery when he was in an emergency situation. I couldn't make that signature. And that, to me, was very wrong.
That you are quite right. That was changed about 2003, as I remember. Mm. There's a change where the fathers are on their the birth certificate for a child, then they automatically acquire parental responsibility. But you're right that the other way it can be acquired, other than by agreement or application to court, is by the mother and the father specifically agreeing. So you enter into a pro forma to grant parental responsibility or to share it. But yeah, you're quite right. At the time you were experiencing this, it wasn't quite on the agenda. So you're highlighting a key problem.
Somewhat terrifying. Let's move on, if we could, something about that. And they've pledged to halve it in a decade.
Yep. Yeah, they have. It's their landmark mission. It says in their manifesto that they want to halve domestic violence within a decade. I mean, arguably, I think the problem of domestic abuse is getting worse. Generally, there's an increase, very well reported increase in misogyny, and that's prevalent in schools now, perhaps more so than it was previously. But Labour have come up with some very specific ideas in order to address that. One is to have domestic abuse experts or with specific qualifications stationed in 999 control rooms. So when a caller comes in, for want of a better phrase, they're not given the brush off as such. And I don't mean to imply that they are at the moment, but it's leading to them talking to someone that with real qualifications that can understand.
It is still the perception, though. You're right. I know they would balk at that prospect, but it is the perception, isn't it, that these things are still to this day not taken as seriously as they should be.
That's absolutely right. And Labour again have pledged in their manifesto to establish a legal advocate in every police force area to advise victims right from the point of report. Where from my own experience that victim may well waver about making a report in the first place through fear of what may happen to them, maybe loss of financial support from the other party, which is a huge reason why couples still stay together, even in abusive relationships, and that legal advocate within that police force area will be on hand. So the manifesto pledges throughout to conviction. So there's some real specific ideas that Labour have come up with to try to help, as well as that the more general, core landmark mission to halve domestic violence generally.
Just sticking with you, Richard, for one more, the issue of childcare is once again, it's been raising its head for a number of years now, and a huge problem exists in the country with childcare facilities, the availability of it, the costs of it, so on and so forth. And they're looking to bring nurseries kind of into schools, aren't they?
One of their main pledges is to introduce free breakfast clubs into, I mean, that has to be a help for families if that can be made available. I think Labour's competitors may say that there's some costing issues there and how it's going to be established, but that's a subject for another day. But their pledge is to introduce free breakfast clubs in every primary school. Certainly going to help out families generally.
All right. Let's talk about corporate law if we can. We can move on to that, and for that we talk to Ashton Carter. Ashton, good morning to you.
Morning.
Was it established that the Conservatives were the people of business? That seems to have waned over the past three, four, 5 years. And there are some changes on the way with regard to corporate law, Ashton.
There are indeed, yeah. I think there was three main things that struck me from the Labour Party manifesto, and I think one of them is what they didn't say. So they were very clear that they were looking to cap corporation tax, its current rate at 25%. They were, however, silent on capital gains tax, which obviously, if they did increase capital gains tax, that would allow them to free up potentially a lot of cash to plough bucket back into the public sector, which is obviously extremely stretched in various areas. So, from a corporate law perspective, that would impact on people who are potentially in the throes of selling their business or looking to sell their business or property and that kind of thing. Because depending on when that change comes in, if it does come in, and obviously we await comment from the Labour Party on it, it could mean a huge acceleration in people wanting to get rid of their businesses, sell their businesses, or may mean that they hold on to them, which obviously may have other implications in the market itself.
They're keen to strengthen workers' rights as well. Now, we're all familiar with the term the zero-hour contract and things like that. workers' rights, again, a big talking point on the doorsteps, one would imagine. What have you heard with regard to what might be down the road on that one?
Yeah, that's a very clear point from their manifesto, is that they're looking to give people essentially full employment rights from day one of employment, which will be a great thing for employees.
It's 2 years at the moment, isn't it?
For a lot of business.
Yeah.
It is indeed, absolutely. Yeah. People will still be subject to a probationary period, but actually due process will now have to be followed in terms of if employers don't think that employee is a right fit for them anymore. It's getting rid of this sort of hire and fire culture and sort of the next man up motto that a lot of the bigger companies are using these days. So it will be a great thing, but it will mean that a lot of companies have to actually review their contracts, get them up to date, get all their policies and procedures up to date to make sure that they have that just an equitable cause to be able to get rid of people if they're not making the grade, so to speak.
Reform talked about getting rid of IR35 as well, which is the bane of many in the realms of self-employment and so on and so forth. Nothing from Labour on that. Well, of course, you wouldn't expect that. They invented it back in 99.
Exactly. It's been a headache for a while now. So I think we'll wait to see what happens with IR35.
Okay. Obviously, with the taxation, much was made about the not raising of taxes. If there's to be increases in corporate taxation, won't that just filter down though? Won't that eventually just end up in our laps as something more we have to pay?
Potentially. I mean, it's one of those things we really need to wait and see how it all filters out. I mean, they've obviously made quite bold promises in relation to the small enterprise markets as well, opening up lending streams to them, making contract tenders more egalitarian in that respect. So actually, it may be that they're trying to offset potential tax issues from one area into another. And it's with a view to opening up the high street and trying to get people spending their physical cash in the high street rather than elsewhere. So that may have a knock-on effect, but ultimately, I think there's a likely chance that a further tax liability will be sitting in people's laps.
Oh wow! Okay, right. Well, we of course wait with bated breath. There's no time frame on these manifestos, and some, in fact, have even argued there should be some degree of legislation with regard to manifestos, because they can frankly say what they like, can't they? And sometimes you get to a situation where, oh well, as it turns out, we can't do that after all. That's infuriating.
Absolutely, yeah, completely frustrating. I definitely think that they should be held to account or something. Absolutely right. Yeah,
absolutely. All right.
To be slightly fair to Labour, though, James, I think they have hit the ground running today with Rachel Reeves saying that they want to get Britain house building. And that's all over the headlines this morning.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Well, of course, it is another raft of contention with house building or lack of affordable homes, certainly. And I know that, Rachel Reeves is on that growth mission that she talks about today. Obviously, we're not able to, I suspect, talk in legislative terms about immigration, but that is a massive issue. Is there anything that you've seen, guys, that would suggest that certainly efforts are to be made with regard to immigration?
It's such a hot topic. And in fact, very recently on a Calais to Dover ferry crossing, I saw a migrant boat coming over with my own eyes.
Oh, wow.
And it's extraordinary, but being encircled by a Border Force vessel. But it's such a hot topic. I know that Labour have mentioned in their manifesto that they want to tie in the obvious need for labour in the labour market. We're looking at immigrants and legalising immigration and trying to speed up the process. But it's something that the Conservatives have not done very well on, shall I say, and it just remains to be seen how Labour can smash the gangs, as Yvette Cooper has said.
Well, you mentioned about Rachel Reeves and the mission she's on today. She's just on her feet now, speaking live with regard to this empowering or restarting the economy. But for the moment, Ashton Carter and Richard Busby from Fisher Jones Greenwood, who have offices in both Suffolk and Essex, on the subject of forthcoming legislative changes that are likely on the way. Ashton, Richard, thank you so much for your time. Great speaking to you.
Thank you, James.
The James Hazel Show. Gen X Radio.